Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord. This is Carnita Smith with Mission from the Heart Radio, and I thank you for being a faithful listener to the broadcast. Again, we are together looking at a teaching series titled Satan from Beauty to Ashes. And we had a wonderful time last broadcast focusing in on the leash of Satan, and that's the leash or a leash around an animal's neck, looking at what that really represents. And we looked at how we are to know the enemy. Know your enemy was point one. And so we looked at the very different areas or the different ways that we saw Satan in his many names, and how beautiful he was when he was in heaven, and we looked at how he was cast out or cast down from heaven with a third of his angels, of the angels following him. And so we looked at the names that he was called, and I illustrated how Satan is a lion on a leash. And it came to me in a picture of a dog on his master's leash, and that leash can only allow the dog to go so far. And we looked at the definition of leash, and it was defined as a strap or cord for restraining. And I liked that in looking at the picture of Satan as being a lion with a large bark, or a lion of a jungle, if you will, that casts fear on those who fear him. And he's just a lion on a leash, and the leash is held by God himself. He has Satan on a leash. He's restrained to a certain degree. And we looked at that in the garden, and we looked at that in different aspects of Scripture. So if you did not catch the first teaching point of this particular teaching series, then I encourage you to go back on the website, blogtalkradio.com/missionfromtheheart or heart to heart, and that's heart, the number two, heart, M-F-T-H, and that M-F-T-H stands for Mission from the Heart. And just click on that link and put that link in your browser and go back to this particular teaching series and refresh yourself with part one, the intro of this teaching series. So we're looking at today, part two, and we're focusing on know his tactics. So before I start, I want to share this testimony concerning myself. And you may be able to relate to this, and it ties right into our second point today, being know his tactics. And I had an experience through this week, and anytime I prepare or God prepares me for a teaching series on this broadcast in this ministry, somehow or another, he trains me as I prepare for this teaching lesson. I seem to become part of the lesson. For this particular lesson or series, Satan from Beauty to Ashes, he tried to tempt me in several different ways this week. He tried to use his subtleties. He tried to use different tactics or schemes concerning himself to try to rattle my cage. And God revealed three different entities to me throughout this week. And one of those entities was at the job through a particular situation. And another tactic or scheme that the enemy tried to tempt me to fall into was through a friend. Think about that. But through a friend in conversation. And then he tried again to tempt me to fall into temptation through my family and how they are very close to me in my heart. And what does all of this mean? As we looked at last broadcast concerning Know Your Enemy, I would not have known that these were some of his tricks of his trade if I did not know who he was. But because I knew that those were only schemes or tactics of Satan or our adversary, as we learned, or our opponent, or the accuser of the brethren, the slanderer, or, as we know, the tempter, as we looked at last broadcast. If I had not known who he was, then I would have fallen into temptation in those three particular situations. I would have become Satan's puppet on a string, if you will. He would have used me to carry on in a way that was opposite of what God teaches us as his children, as children of light, as spirit-filled believers of Christ Jesus, as the fruit of the Spirit get worked in us and come through us, that others will see a difference in us and who we are in Christ Jesus. And I could go into great detail concerning those three particular situations, but it wasn't for me to testify in detail about them. It was for me to take heed to the strategies, the tricks, or the tactics, or the schemes that clearly came from the adversary. And I just... It amazed me on how God gave me a testimony to share with the listeners of this broadcast on how Satan went from beauty to ashes, but he can come so subtle and so clever and so crafty in his trade that it would make or become or reveal to us that we are to mimic him or entertain with him in those ways of our thoughts, of our speech, and of our deeds. And I like to put it like this: we can become a puppet on a string in talking in a manner that is opposite of what the scriptures teach us. We become belligerent in our speech. We may curse and carry on with others in bad jokes or using curse words from time to time that do not glorify God. We may have thoughts in our minds that cause us to think about things that are opposite of what Scripture teaches us to be pure in our thoughts. We may have actions that carry out
pictures that show people how we can be in the world and act just as they are of this world. And we become dim lights in society, in a dark world, when we should be bright lights in a dark world, in a wayward society. And so I thank God in every situation that He led me not into temptation. He delivered me from the evil one. And remember, He always provides us the way out. And I just wanted to share that with you, brothers and sisters in Christ, to let you know that when you know your enemy and who he is, and the more we draw in, press in to Christ, Jesus, and allowing the Word of God to saturate our hearts, then the Holy Spirit will reveal to us his shenanigans, his tactics, his schemes in our life, that we can stand strong and steady, stay the steady course, that we do not have to become one of his puppets on a string. So I hope that encouraged you to have the eyes of the mighty one, Christ Jesus, and the mind and the wisdom and the knowledge to stand in the face of foolishness that Satan wants us to become. How can I say? He wants us to become puppets, and that we would act out and carry out his schemes. But God, the more we know, the more we love, the more we press into his bosom, the stronger we become, the zealousness we have, the joy unspeakable we produce that becomes infectious to others. So I hope that this encourages you to always know your enemy. And as we look into point two, we're going to know his tactics. So if you will, have your Bibles ready, as I always indicate, and have your heart prepared to receive some rich nuggets concerning the tactics of Satan, the enemy. And again, you may have experienced some of his foolishness or his little subtleties of his ways, but as you know, you are an overcomer, and you know that as a child of God, no one and nothing can pluck you from God's hand. And we are victory. We have victory in Christ Jesus. The victory has already been won. So let's look at our scripture. But before we go there, I want to say a prayer of praise to God that he continue to keep us in his awesome care and protection. So if you would touch and agree with me, bow your heads, brothers and sisters in Christ, and let's lift up a prayer of praise to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Father God, we come before you, the throne of grace, making our petitions known today. First, we want to say thank you for allowing us to be in our right mind, for you breathing the breath of life in our nostrils, for you keeping us in our right mind as we woke up this morning. You didn't have to, but you did. Because of your grace and mercy on us, we are so forever thankful to you, Lord. Thank you for allowing us to have the Holy Spirit within inside of us, knowing that Jesus died on that cross for our sin, that we can run and go tell somebody about Jesus Christ, who died, who was buried, and he rose. And let the redeemed say so, that Jesus is our Redeemer. Thank you, Lord God, for Jesus Christ. Thank you for the Holy Spirit. Now, Lord, take us a little further in your word, deeper in understanding, wisdom, and knowledge of your word, that what you have for each and every one of us listening to this broadcast today, that we would receive it by faith, that we would apply it to our life, and most of all, Lord, that you would use us to share it with somebody who may not know you in the pardoning of their sin. Thank you, Lord God, for being the master of our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, brothers and sisters, for joining with me in prayer today. And we're going to just pounce right into our lesson. So if you could get your writing materials ready, because we're going to look at several scriptures again as you make note and as we look in some passages that show us Satan's tactics and how we are to be aware of how he comes at the sheep. Now, keep in mind, brothers and sisters, we know, if you don't know, we know that we fight not against flesh and blood. But what we do and what we do fight against are principalities of darkness, these spirits of darkness. And as I went through those testing or temptations, if you will, that came across my path this week, I could have been a victim of his foolishness, Satan. But I chose to stay steady and kept my focus and my mind on Christ Jesus. And I focused in on what the Word of God taught me concerning the fruit that are within me. And by the guiding and the leading of the Holy Spirit, it gave me the strength to stand on the righteousness of God's word. So this is our exercise. So if we stay weak in our faith, weak in spirit, and weak in understanding the word of God, then we do fall prey, and that's P-R-E-Y, prey to Satan's tactics. So let's look at know his tactics, point two, and we're going to look at Isaiah, and we're going to look in chapter 14. So if you would turn your Bibles to Isaiah chapter 14, and for the sake of understanding this particular passage, I'm going to start at verse 1, but I'm going to read through verses 1 through 11. But our focus passage in this particular chapter is Isaiah 14, verses 12 through 15. So for the note takers, if you will, mark in your Bible or circle those particular verses, 12 through 15. But to get a little thumbnail sketch of what this particular passage is talking about through the eyes or the hands or the pen of the prophet Isaiah, it's talking about Israel being in captive in Babylon during a time that God allowed the Babylonians to capture the Israelites or the capture Israel. And let's look at verse 1 in chapter 14. And I would like to read this. If you would follow along in your translation, whether it be the King James, New King James, or NIV. I'm going to read this first in the New Living Translation, just to kind of give us an eye-opener of what is taking place. And, of course, this is a proverb against the king of Babylon. In chapter 13, it talks about the doom of Babylon predicted. But we're going to look at how this proverb or for the Babylonian or the Babylon king at this time, we're going to look at this through the eye or pen of Isaiah. And it reads this way. So if you could follow along in your translation, I'm going to read it in the New Living Translation. But the Lord will have mercy on the descendants of Jacob. Israel will be in his special people, will be his special people once again. He will bring them back to settle once again in their own land. And people from many different nations will come and join them there and become a part of the people of Israel. That's very significant. The nations of the world will help the Lord's people to return, and those who come to live in their land will serve them. Those who captured Israel will be captured, and Israel will rule over its enemies. In that wonderful day when the Lord gives his people rest from sorrow and fear, from slavery and chains, you will taunt the king of Babylon. You will say, the mighty man has been destroyed. Yes, your insolence is ended. And in your translation, it may use the word, how the oppressor has ceased. Verse 5, for the Lord has crushed your wicked power and broken your evil rule. You persecuted the people with unceasing blows of rage and held the nations in your anger grip, in your angry grip. Your tyranny was unrestrained. Now remember, in the beginning of this broadcast, I indicated the word or defined the word leash. And I stated that Satan was a lion on a leash. And the leash, as I indicated, was a strap or cord for restraining. And the holder of that leash is God. He restrains. But if we when we read in this particular verse, it indicates that your tyranny was unrestrained. So God gave him some slack in the leash in order for him to create or commit chaos against the Israelites. Verse 7, but at last the land is at rest and is quiet. Finally, it can sing again. Even the trees of the forest, the cypress trees and the cedars of Lebanon, sing out this joyous song. Your power is broken. No one will come to cut us down now. Verse 9, in the palace, in the place of the dead, there is excitement over your arrival. World leaders and mighty kings long dead are there to see you. With one voice, they will cry out, now you are as weak as we are. Your might and power are gone. They were burned with you, buried with you. All the pleasant music in your palace has ceased. Now maggots are your sheet and worms your blanket. And this brings us to verse 12 through 15. And I'm going to move from the New Living Translation and read it in the New King James. And this is how it reads in the New King James, starting at verse 12. How you are fallen from heaven, O Lucifer. Lucifer literally means day star, son of the morning. How you are cut down to the ground. You who weakened the nations. For you have said in your heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne over or above the stars of God. I will also sit on the mount of the congregation on the farthest sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. And verse 15, yet you shall be brought down to Sheol, to the lowest depth of the pit. And we know that to be hell. But if you look in these verses, it shows how Lucifer, Satan, the adversary, the serpent, the devil, the accuser of brethren, the slanderer, the tempter, the father of lies, shows himself to be so big and cocky and arrogant, so self-absorbed, full of himself concerning me, myself, and I. He's got this disease called I. And the antidote to that I disease is called pride. He's so full of himself. He's so envious. He's so revengeful. He's got schemes coming up one side and down the other. But you can clearly see in this passage that how you are fallen from heaven, O Lucifer. And then in verse 13, it indicates how I will ascend. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will also sit on the mount. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will. If you see in verse 14, it indicates in Isaiah chapter 14, verse 14, it indicates clearly, I will be like the Most High. But 15 explains it all. It says it all concerning his tactics and what he seems to think he's going to have, he's going to do, he's going to pursue, how he's going to end up. He just doesn't seem to get it. But that's his tactic. He wants to appear as though. And had I fallen into temptation, then he would have won that particular tactic. 15, yet, I like that, yet you shall be brought down to Sheol. The NIV says, but you are brought down to the grave. That just lets me know that you're predestined. You're destined for the grave, to the depths of the pit, and that is the pit of hell. He is a liar from the pit of hell. He's going to hell. And he's trying to take as many as he can with him. And I indicated last broadcast that those who are weak in spirit. They are weak in their growth, spiritual maturity. They are on milk and not on meat. Then you will be devoured if you are not growing. So let's continue to look at the scriptures concerning know his tactics. And he's got this mad, crazy, self-absorbed cockiness about himself concerning the I disease. And, of course, that feeds pride, envy, and it indicates who he wants to be. He wants to be like the Most High. And, of course, the fall. He will be brought down. You are brought down. And we know the story concerning Satan's end. Let's look at 2 Corinthians chapter 2. Keep in mind, when you know the enemy and you know his tactics, he's all about himself. And he wants so many of God's children to bow down to him and worship him. And if you are weak in your spiritual maturity, you will find yourself in a tsunami or whirlwind of thought, word, and deed that show that you are one of his. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 11. In order, this is the NIV, in order that Satan might not outwit us, for we are not unaware of his schemes. This is concerning forgiveness for the sinner. And let me back up to this in verse 5. Let's just start from there, just so it kind of makes more sense concerning this passage. If anyone has caused grief, he has not so much grieved me as he has grieved all of you. To some extent, not to put it too severely, the punishment inflicted on him by the majority is sufficient for him. Now, instead, you ought to forgive and comfort him so that he will not be overwhelmed by excessive sorrow. I urge you, therefore, to reaffirm your love with him. The reason I wrote you was to see if you would stand the test and be obedient in everything. If you forgive anyone, I also forgive him. And what I have forgiven, if there was anything to forgive, I have forgiven it. Or forgiven in the sight of Christ for your sake. Verse 11, in order that Satan might not outwit us, for we are not unaware of his schemes. We are not unaware of his schemes. And the New Living Translation says it this way, so, verse 11, so that Satan will not outsmart us. For we are very familiar with his evil schemes. Lest Satan should take advantage of us, for we are not ignorant his devices, tactics, schemes. The saints, the believers in Christ Jesus, we have to be very, very, very full of the Holy Spirit. We have to be very, very into reading and praying daily concerning the scriptures and familiarizing ourselves precept upon precept of the Word of God, that we will grow strong like a tree planted by a river, that we will not fall prey, because we as believers in Christ Jesus understand first who he is, Satan, and then knowing his tactics. We're very familiar with the evil schemes of Satan. And if you are not, then that lets you know that you need to read more of the Word of God. Pray daily that he would reveal to you the simplicity of what he wants you to know in every situation, every circumstance. You cry out to him, Christ, for understanding and knowledge, that you will not succumb to the tactics or the schemes of Satan. That could have been me this week, on those three different situations within 1 week. Two of them happened on the same day. That lets me know that Satan is trying to nip at my heels to get me off course, off track, throw me off the straight and narrow road onto the wide road of destruction. But I refuse to be his puppet on a string. This is the stand that we as believers in Christ Jesus take. But the Word of God has to be tattooed on your heart, that you would allow the Holy Spirit to reveal your weapon on demand. And the weapon is the Word of God. I like to call it, or the scriptures call it, the armor of God. So, as we see here in Scripture, Paul communicating to the church of Corinth concerning forgiveness, yes, for the sinner, but he indicates to us that Satan will not outsmart us. He can't outsmart us if we're strong in the Word of God. Now, what does this mean by being strong in the Word of God? No, it doesn't mean that you have to study the Word of God, to memorize it, to be able to quote word after word. No, what this means is that we are to be strong in relationship with Christ Jesus. He is our battle axe. He fights every battle. He sends Satan to flight. When we pray, Satan flees. All of his tactics, all of his schemes, they go. Because we rejoice in the face of our enemy. We don't fret. We don't freak out. We rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord always, I say again, rejoice, according to Scripture. This is what he hates. Satan hates rejoicing, exalting the Lord God. He hates it. It's odd. It's kind of peculiar in a way, because he, Satan, Lucifer, was the morning star, day star, and he was the angel of beauty very beautiful, God created, and he had timbrels and symbols. So I like to see or think of Satan or Lucifer as the praise and worship leader. The praise and worship leader of the angels as they sing holy, holy, holy all day. But because he went from beauty to ashes, he's destined for hell, Hades, the pit of fire. So, as believers in Christ Jesus, if we find ourselves at the feet or at the foot of tactics by Satan himself in your life, whatever that may be, you've got to know that he is at the forefront of that particular situation. And we are to fight that by prayer and supplication to Jesus Christ in relationship and yielding the Holy Spirit as he says, go left instead of right. Don't curse. Hold your tongue. Don't let anger lead you into sin. Maintain self-control on his strength, Christ's strength. Don't be ugly toward the ugly. Be gentle, faithful, kind, affection, showing grace, goodness, and maintain patience. These are the things that trump Satan's shenanigans. And when you praise him, it's like a disease to Satan. He does not want us to give glory, honor, and praise to the Father of the Most High. Remember, in the passages when he said, I will, I will, I will, in Isaiah 14, in that particular verse, he was letting Isaiah and the world know that I will be like the Most High. So now, as we see here in 2 Corinthians 2, verse 11, we are to not allow him to outsmart us, and we are familiar with his evil schemes. So that means watch and pray. Watch and pray. And obey the Holy Spirit. Now, I'm speaking as if those who are listening to this broadcast concerning know his tactics, Satan from beauty to ashes, I'm speaking to you as if you are a believer in Christ Jesus and you are sold out for Christ and you do not have a problem letting anybody know that you are a child of the Most High God. But there are listeners who listen to this broadcast who may be on milk, still trying to get to the banquet table of meat. And if I could right now stop, drop, and pray for those who may be listening that do not know Christ Jesus in the pardoning of their sin. So if you could, brothers and sisters, pray with me. And let's touch and agree concerning someone who may be lost or someone that you may have shared this broadcast with and you know they are not saved, they are not following Christ, or they need a revival. Let's pray right now a prayer of salvation. So if you could and if you would touch and agree with me as we bow heads, lifting up those in our circle of influence through this broadcast and in your personal circle. Lift them up by name that they will come to know Jesus Christ. Lord God, thank you. Lord, we come praying to you right now. Again, making our petitions known concerning somebody who may be listening to this broadcast, that they would come to know you in the pardoning of their sin. For they know that they are a sinner. You have been pursuing them. And Lord, we come together as the body of Christ, lifting them up in prayer that they would turn from their wicked ways, surrender to you in all intimacy and humbleness of heart, saying, what must I do to be saved? Lord, you know who they are, each and every one. Now, Lord, we ask in the name of Jesus that they would accept your Son, understand that they cannot save themselves, and that they would receive forgiveness of heart, that they know that Jesus died on that cross for you, for them. Jesus, you paid it all. And all to you we owe, that someone will accept you as their Savior. We pray this simple prayer, Lord God, lifting them up, that they come to know you, that they rejoice and call you Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Thank you, brothers and sisters, for praying with me concerning this, because this broadcast cannot continue to go if we do not expose the Word of God, expound on the Word of God, and extend the Word of God, or extend the gospel of Jesus Christ to someone who may not know him. So this is what we do. So praise the Lord. So for those of you who pray for someone, we believe by faith that they will accept Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, and that they will get into a Bible-teaching church that will disciple them, and that they will get baptized by submersion of water and come up singing, hallelujah, hallelujah, I am a child of the Most High God. Praise the Lord. And I pray that you who may be listening, do that and let somebody know that you are a new creature in Christ Jesus and that you are going to heaven. Praise the Lord. So we're going to continue to look at our passages concerning know his tactics. And we looked at Isaiah 14 verses 12 through 15, and we just looked at 2 Corinthians chapter 2. Verse 11 concerning the saints and how we know his schemes. We're very familiar. Now we're going to move over to Matthew 27. So if you would move back from 2 Corinthians over to Matthew 27, and we're going to look at verse 40. Matthew 27, verse 40. And it reads this way in the NIV translation. And I'm going to move back to verse 39. Well, let me go to verse 37. Above his head, they placed the written charge against him, talking about Jesus. This is Jesus, the King of the Jews. Two robbers were crucified with him, one on his right, and one on his left. Those who passed by hurled insults at him, shaking their heads and saying, you who are going to destroy the temple and build it in 3 days, save yourself. Come down from the cross if you are the Son of God. Verse 41, for the sake of continuing our reading in this passage. In the same way, the chief priests, the teachers of the law, and the elders mocked him. He saved others, they said, but he can't save himself. He's the king of Israel, saying that with sarcasm. Let him come down now from the cross, and we will believe in him. He trusts in God. Let God rescue him now if he wants him. For he said, I am the Son of God. In the same way, the robbers who were crucified with him also insults on him. Now we know this very familiar passage concerning Jesus on the cross. As he hung, bled, and he was near death in this passage, the crucifixion. Now, as I read through these verses, starting at verse 37, above his head they placed a written charge against him. Those are what they placed above his head. Jesus, the King of the Jews. This was to insult him. And it just goes on and on all the way through verse 44. Now, whose tactic is this? It's so clear in the scripture that these particular insults, tactics through the chief priests, we're talking about the religious leaders during that time of the temple, the chief priests, the teachers of the law, the elders, they mocked him. Supposed to be our own kind believers. And then those who passed by mocked him, talked about him, accused him, insulting him, talking condescending. Yeah, he's supposed to be the Son of God, he claims. The robber on one side of him said, definitely the devil's advocate. So while Jesus was on the cross, we clearly see Satan's tactics when we're at our lowest point in life. Here he comes, accusing us. He's the accuser. He's the slanderer. The accuser of the brethren. He's our adversary. He's our opponent. And if we fall into temptation, then we find ourselves in a tsunami of mess, guilt, shame. We learn that from Eve, Adam and Eve in the garden. They covered themselves with fig leaves because they knew they disobeyed God. And then they started trying to accuse one another when they knew of their sin that they committed. These are the same tactics that Satan has been using against the brother and the sister and since the beginning of time, way before the earth was even created. In heaven, we read that in scripture last broadcast. He was the day star. He was beautiful. He had beautiful colors and gemstones of color. And he was the worship leader, if you will. He went from beauty to ashes. And as he expressed, as it was indicated in the book of Isaiah, he has a bad disease called I will be like the Most High. I will sit on the throne in heaven. So in this passage, we see Satan's tactics while Jesus was on the cross, dying for our sin. It was his blood that covered our sin. But Satan talked about him bad through others that fell into his tactics and shenanigans, his little schemes. Even the religious leaders became part of his puppetry. It's expected for those who don't know Jesus Christ to be doubtful and accusers and, yeah, see, he wasn't all that he thought he was. But even in today's times, the world that we live in today, some of the weaker brothers and sisters live as if there's no hope. They talk like it, they act like it, they think like it. And that's why the body of Christ has to man together and build each other up, especially the weaker ones. That's why prayer and Bible study is so important to the body, so that we won't be devoured by the little tricks of his trade, the adversary, Satan himself. We are a mighty army. So as we see in this particular passage, we see that he is trying again to make Jesus to be a fake, a phony, to those who look on so that they can live a hellish-fied life. And even when we look at today's times, the things that are happening in our time today looks bleak, looks a little iffy. How are these things going to be worked out? Who's going to take charge if all of this is taking place? No, we don't think like that. We don't act like that, and we certainly don't talk like that. That's what Satan wants from the believers in Christ Jesus. He wants us running around, wringing our hands, trying to figure out what should we do when we have the key that unlocks the leash around our thoughts, around our mouth, our words, and our deeds. We have the key. The key is salvation through Jesus Christ. That is the key that releases the leash, the strongholds on our life. You know what your stronghold is, whether it be drinking, whether it be drugging, whether it be seducing, whether it be fornicating or pornography, lying, gossiping, envious. You know what your stronghold is. But as long as you are a child of God, you have the key to unlock the leash around our lie. So lastly, in this particular point concerning know his tactics, Jesus was tempted, as we know, and three times Satan speaks in Scripture. Three times it has been recorded in Scripture that Satan speaks. Recorded. God allowed this to be recorded in Scripture. And the three times that Satan speaks in Scripture is Genesis 3, verses 1 through 4. So if you could write that down just to have as your private study time. And Genesis 3, verses 1 through 4. Secondly, was Job 1, verses 6 and 9. And then in Matthew chapter 4, verses 1 through 11. Genesis 3, 1 through 4, Job chapter 1, verse 6 and 9, and Matthew chapter 4, verses 1 through 11. And I would love for you to just take those particular scriptures and read them maybe after this broadcast, or read them in your private study time and familiarize yourself concerning that God allowed Satan to speak. Remember, he's a lion on a leash. Who holds the leash? God restrains him, but he allowed him to speak three times in scripture, at least recorded, we'll put it that way. It was recorded in scripture those three times. And familiarize yourself with those passages. You may already know them. But it was interesting to ponder on that. Interesting to ponder on that. And lastly, I want us to read Proverbs chapter 16, verse 18 and 19. So if you would turn to Proverbs 16, 18, and we will end on this particular passage in Proverbs 16. Starting at verse 18, and we're going to read through 19. It says, in the New King James translation, it said, pride goes before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. Pride goes before destruction, a haughty spirit before a fall. Better to be lowly in spirit and among the oppressed than to share plunder with the proud. As we know, pride, it goes before destruction, a haughty spirit before a fall. So that's something to think about. Don't allow pride to be your lowercase G-O-D, God. Don't allow self-absorbed, me, myself, and I, or a disease called I, be your guide. Because it says in the scripture, pride goes before destruction, a haughty spirit before a fall. And that type of a fall reflects eternal. So this brings us to the end of this broadcast, and I pray that these richness in nuggets that we've shared together in this broadcast concerning Know His Tactics, I hope they blessed your soul in keeping watch and pray. Is what we are called to do, is watch and pray. On next broadcast, we will look at the last point to this teaching series, Satan from Beauty to Ashes. And that last point will be stand strong, steady. Stand strong, steady. So I pray and hope that you will meet me again here concerning this particular teaching series, Satan from Beauty to Ashes. Always remember that the grass wither and the flowers fadeth away, but the word of God, as we know, will stand forever and ever. God bless you.